This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a nonprofit with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Change menus, change lives. Learn more at chefscollaborative.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Cynthia Cherish Mallorin, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Wedding Cake on Heritage Radio Network. So before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love. That's spelled love, L-U-V, and hashtag using Wedding Cake, one word, Heritage underscore radio, and hashtag RevLove. Ooh, so listen, I'm so happy you're all here. Welcome to the third episode ever of the first season of Wedding Cake, a sweet revenge on my own wedding day years ago when I didn't have cake because I eloped in Vegas. Yes, everyone, I was one of those people, believe it or not. I know, I got the claps. I got the clap. So that marriage did not work out, but I still love weddings. I love DJing them. I love writing the ceremonies and officiating them. I even love coordinating the surprise marriage proposals around New York City. So reach out to me if you are planning on popping that big question and we can make it epic. And the best part, every week we will eat wedding cake on air because I'm not bitter and I love love. And I decided I should have my cake every week and eat it too. So speaking of DJing, I DJ Cherish the Love. I'm Whole Foods New York City's official DJ, so come hang and eat and listen to my select tunes every first Tuesday of every month, 6 to 8 p.m. Bryant Park, New York City. I also recently just DJed for Chic, Nile Rodgers, Tribe Called Quest, Elvis Costello. Bring it, universe, bring it. So I hope you all caught my hidden love messages if you were at those sets in D.C. and in New Orleans. So okay, moving on. I just like love to talk about that. So you might remember my voice from previous show on Heritage Radio Network here called Primary Food. It has not gone away. It still very much lives. So search for it on iTunes and Stitcher because there are so many, many gems about life and creativity and healing. And I will be back on the Primary Food. But since it is wedding season, I figured we should all have cake. So this show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now, and I'll love you forever, and I might even marry you. So today's guests are, first of all, my fake fiancé, Sally G from Super Vegan Life.
Yay!
Hey, hey, hey!
Hello. So, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. And you brought me flowers.
I'm so excited to be your fiancé.
You're my awesome fiancé. Oh.
Yeah.
Aw, my fiancé. Is that
hey,
how you say it?
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, if you haven't heard the show before, every episode I have a fake fiancé or fiancé, because I swing both ways on air. Why not celebrate like we're having a real fake wedding? Upcoming episodes, we're also going to be having guests like the hopelessly perpetually single woman, also another person who is the professional bridesmaid, and we have a little Azilla guest today.
Hey, girl.
Oh, my God. Our guest Zilla today, Kat. Kat Johnson.
What's up, Cynthia?
You said you had something to say about weddings.
Yeah, so the thing about it is, like, thanks for inviting me and everything, but
Did we invite the Zilla? Uh-oh. I think the Zilla just came in.
It's okay. I love my haters, too.
This is why you're my perfect fiancé. Okay.
So I saw that the wedding, you know, you said RSVP, picked, like, food you want to eat. The thing is, like, I'm on this new lunar diet, and So basically, I'm eating with the tide. So I need to, like, last minute request. I need to eat fish before 5, and then I can only have shellfish after 5 because it's like I have to eat based on the tide. So, like, that's cool, right?
What the hell are you talking about? Wait, Gasilla, is that a thing?
Yes.
Oh, fake fiance. Wow. Do we need to consider that?
Are we getting married near a tide? Because that's cool if we are.
We're getting married on the beach.
You're
on
the beach.
Yes.
The beach,
okay.
Right?
Yes.
So there will be a tide. What, you know, somewhat soon.
Sally G, why don't you tell everyone how you proposed to me?
You want me to tell that story
just right now? Right now, because, you know.
Okay.
As if it happened.
I like it better when you tell it.
That's a good one.
But I'll just give the shorter version. So, you know, I love how Cherish is always put together. She always looks great, right? No matter what. You see her, she's just put together and looks nice all the time. But I wanted her to know that I would love her no matter what she looked like, right? And we all know that she has been through some very difficult physical challenges. And so I really, really needed her to know that I would love her regardless. So we were up at Woodstock Farm Sanctuary.
I love it.
You know, petting all the animals and spreading the love of veganism, of course. And so I had previously, before we got to the farm, I had cohorted with one of the people that worked there and convinced them, paid them actually, to push her into the pigsty. So when she did, she like fell over and I ran in, I jumped in on top of her and kind of like pulled her down against her so she'd get really, really muddy and mucky. Even if you are up to your ears in shit, I will still love you forever.
And she popped the question to me in mud. Thank you. You know what? The best part of this season is going to be collecting what people make up in the moment when I tell them, how did you propose to me? Today's cake is by Pamela Elizabeth herself, the vegan queen, who is she's the creator, the founder of all of the Blossom restaurants. And this cake is from Coco V in Chelsea. So we're all going to have a piece of it. We got some forks, and that's what we're going to be eating during the show. So those of you who are considering a vegan-friendly wedding, listen to this little note from Blossom Restaurants founder Pamela Elizabeth, who will be live on upcoming episodes.
This is Pamela Elizabeth, owner and founder of Blossom Vegan Restaurant, Blossom Du Jour Quick Serve, Urban Vegan Kitchen, and Coco V Chocolate here in New York City. Congratulations on getting engaged. Wow.
So exciting. So I wanted to ask you guys if you've ever considered having a vegan-friendly wedding. If you haven't, I've got a couple of good reasons why you might want to consider it. We all know how much work goes into planning a wedding. My goodness, there's so much to do. Find a space, pick a DJ, try to hook up with a wedding planner. And then, of course, there's the ultimate challenge of figuring out how to feed everyone, which means figuring out the menu. And in this case, we're talking about a vegan-friendly menu, which of course is a menu that doesn't contain any animal products. So I've got you with this, don't worry. A good friend of mine got married last year, and she really struggled with her family members, a number of them, on the issue of not having milk for coffee at the wedding. There are so many plant-based milk alternatives. Flax milk, soy milk, almond milk, hemp milk, coconut milk. The list goes on and on and on. The next issue was not having a meat or fish option. But for her, it was all about the menu being all-inclusive. So everyone would enjoy the food. And you can absolutely accomplish that with a vegan menu, working with beautiful vegetables and mushrooms and grains and outrageous salad and killer vegan cakes that are made with plant-based ingredients instead of animal products. I told you, I got you. I got you with this. And at the end of the day, this beautiful wedding is all about love and having the love between two people stand for something even greater, which is the love of all things, the love of the environment, the love of earth, the love of animals. And what better way is there to do this at your wedding than through the food that's being offered? So those are just a few of my thoughts on why I hope you'll consider having a vegan-friendly wedding. And again, congrats on getting engaged. And now let's get back to wedding cake with the amazing DJ Cherish the Love.
My guest here in the studio, to my right, I've got DJ Greg with me. Hey.
Hey, Cynthia.
How you doing?
I'm feeling great. It's great to be in Brooklyn today.
So I was so happy to see you guys, like, just sitting there eating pizza in the sun. That makes me really, really happy. I have you on today because, man, people ask me all the time, and I've DJed weddings and you DJ weddings. How do you hire? How do you pick an awesome DJ? So that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. So I know you've got a lot of experience. You are Ambient DJ Services in the tri-state area, correct?
Correct.
Award-winning personalized music and entertainment services. More than just a DJ service, though, Greg, you're also an author.
Correct.
Yes. So let's talk about your book and where people can buy it, because I did buy it years ago, and I found it very, very helpful.
Excellent. Yeah, it's called The Bride's Guide to Selecting the Perfect Wedding DJ, and you can look that up on Amazon. It will pop right up. You can order it as a hard copy or as an ebook.
So we'll give like a couple of tips, and they'll leave you hanging so that you want to go buy the book.
It's pretty timeless advice. A lot of engaged couples have never hired a DJ before, so they really don't know where to start. And maybe the first thing they ask is just how much. And they ask that because they don't know what else to ask.
Uh-huh.
So this book is a consumer's guide, and it's balanced. It's fair to the DJs, the professional DJs, but also fair to the consumers to protect them. Because, you know, let's face it, if your DJ sucks at the wedding, your reception sucks.
This is true. Cat's making a face like,
That's not even a Gastilla thing.
I love the quote on the back of your book. Your wedding reception should be the monumental celebration of your life. It is probably the most expensive party you'll ever throw. Correct, yes. The stakes are high. Now, I've had my share of DJing weddings, and I had one really, really funny request once, Greg, and I think you'll enjoy this. I had a bride who asked for Lithuanian polka.
Okay.
And a groom who wanted death metal.
That sounds bad.
And then they said, no pop, no top 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you do?
The first thing I did was pray. No, actually, the first thing I did was, okay, I think I know. I have some quasi-death metal bossa mixes that we could use for cocktail. But this polka bit obviously is going to be a segment of the program. And it was. I knew that I was just going to have to ask them for permission to play some popular music because I knew there were going to be kids at the wedding. So, you know, when they're kids, they come up and what do they ask for, Greg? They ask for Taylor Swift. They ask for,
sure.
They ask for all the stuff on the radio. And if the kids aren't happy and they're crying and they're miserable, what's the vibe of the party? It's pretty. Because then the parents are stressed out that the kids are miserable. Mm-hmm. Have you had an experience like that with some bizarre requests?
Sure. Well, I think once I had a couple who made me put a sign on the DJ table that said, no requests, please. Okay. So this couple really wanted to control all of the music and DJ their own wedding without being behind the mixing board.
Yikes.
I've had a few of those. Now, one couple, the guy, he was excellent at music and he actually went on to become a DJ, a very successful wedding DJ on the West Coast. Shout out to DJ Dan from Love in the Mix in San Francisco. So his playlist was great. He had some sets picked, but most couples don't know enough about music and dance floor psychology as we do doing this week in and week out. And I generally advise couples to pick some must play songs, like just say 20, 30, something like that. And then pick some others if there's time and then leave the DJ some scope to work their artistry, to connect the dots, to mix it up.
Great advice. I also ask people, hey, if you have a do not playlist, that's helpful. Because some people, do you find, Greg, are vehemently against certain groups, bands. They're just like, I hate that group. And you're like, wow, good thing you told me. You know?
Yeah, and it varies from couple to couple. Like, I think even Michael Bublé got put on the Do Not playlist recently, which was a first for me because I thought that everyone liked Michael Bublé.
Except for that person.
But generally, it's the Britney Spears, you know, the Miley Cyruses, those like the superficial pop music that gets on the Do Not playlist or the overplayed, you know, classics like, you know, Kool and the Gang Celebration or, you know, the YMCA, that kind of stuff. People don't want so-called cheesy music at their wedding.
What do you find that people are asking for right now? What's the trend?
Well, the trend that I've seen is, again, more back to basics, good music, minimal emceeing. So, you know, couples generally don't want a guy on the mic hyping the party up the whole time, but just a good mix of music. A lot of couples are forgoing the bouquet and garter ceremonies.
I found that too.
And yeah. They just want to dance and have a good time.
I'm going to play the role of someone who's looking to hire a DJ. How would you suggest that they approach you for pricing and things like that? Because that tends to be, yes, the first question and always really uncomfortable question.
Sure. So in the case of our company, we've always been transparent. And I think the millennials like to see pricing information. So we put our prices and packaging right up on the website. So that saves me a lot of time. Like if they look at that and that's too high for them, they never call us. Mm-hmm. So if they do contact us, they're pre-qualified, so they're willing to consider. And we have a wide range of packages that start, you know, a little over 1,000 and then go up to about 5,000. You know, I'd say most of the couples are prepared to spend a few thousand. They usually pick something in the middle. I think it's good to put the information out there. Our clientele, they're generally pretty educated and enlightened musically, so they go in with the approach that you as the DJ know more about music and mixing and how to run a party. So they give me a pretty long leash and they'll just have some certain songs or certain things they want done. And as long as we do those and keep people dancing, they're pretty happy. You know, through time, I've had less controlling clients. I think in the early days of our company, we were a little bit too tolerant of everybody and we attracted actually a lot of hipsters who were very controlling. And those types of weddings were no fun because it was just about, you know, you're reduced to a human iPod, you know, jukebox hero, we like to say.
Right. Ah, good point. I remember someone asking me, well, you know, what's the difference between a DJ and an iPod? And I was like, well, DJ has a heart and you just broke it with that question. What kind of question is that? I mean, there are people who think that they can just hit Pandora for their weddings. What do you have to say about that for these people listening? They're like, oh, I'll spend, you know, nothing on it.
Yeah, well, there's actually a chapter in my book about, you know, why iPod weddings are a bad idea. But preparing a playlist in advance, you might guess, well, what's going to be happening at this time? People are going to be, you know, eating their salad, so we want some background. But a DJ in a live performance environment can react quickly and steer the action. So, yeah, there's no comparison, Cynthia.
Sally, are we going to have an iPod at our wedding?
No, absolutely not.
No, we're going to have Greg.
All my DJ friends would.
Yeah.
Greg, what's your website so people can check you out?
Sure. It's ambientdj.com. So ambientdj.com.
And the name of your book again?
The Bride's Guide to Selecting the Perfect Wedding DJ.
So we're going to go into a little bit of a music break, a track by Knock Boots, and then we'll go into some sponsor messages. And then I'm going to ask DJ Greg for some questions from his book.
What's the next song?
The one about me.
Mike is the creator of the Unfuck the World movement. Having a vegan wedding is one of the many ways you can make this world a better place. You could also have an eco-friendly wedding. Find out what you are passionate about and join us for the 5th annual Unfuck the World Day, Saturday, June 10th. Positive local action worldwide. For more information, visit unfucktheworld.com.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a national nonprofit network with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Chefs Collaborative members work to make sustainable practices second nature for every chef in the United States. Chefs Collaborative was founded in 1993 by visionary chefs including Rick Bayless and Alice Waters, who acknowledged the influential role of food professionals on our food choices, our collective personal health, the vitality of cultures, and the integrity of the global environment. Chefs Collaborative believes that the greater culinary community can be a catalyst for positive change by expanding the market for good food and helping to preserve local farming and fishing communities. Change menus, change lives. Learn more about Chefs Collaborative at chefscollaborative.org.
So I'm here with DJ Greg, Ambient DJ Services. You have recently hit a milestone with your company. Tell us about that.
Sure. So I was just putting together some statistics at the end of the month, like I do every month, and I realized that in the month of April, we had booked 50 private events in a month, which was the highest we'd ever done. And
that's
50
a
is a pretty nice number.
That's a lot. So how many DJs are working with your group? Because that's, a lot of gigs.
And by the way, that figure excludes bar club work, which is, you know, recurring weekly stuff. So that's private events, weddings, family parties, sweet 16s, bar bat mitzvah, stuff like that, which are a little harder to book. Yeah, I mean, we have 20 DJ entertainers on staff right now. The core is about half of those. That group works a lot, okay? And then we have a group of specialists who, you know, have certain types of parties that they excel in, and they get called in, usually more for the busy season, which is just about starting right now.
Now, you mentioned something about MCs earlier. I was recently asked, do I need to hire an MC? What's your thought on that?
Right. So a lot of DJ companies say that you need to hire the DJ and MC. You can't book just one. So at our company, 90% of the time, we work solo in that the DJ also MCs. Occasionally, we'll bring out the two-person team if it's a very large event or if the client says we want it extremely interactive. But most couples these days, again, they want it less interactive. They don't want a guy talking on the microphone, interrupting the flow. So with a wireless microphone, one professional DJ can get the job done very nicely.
Now, I have a really important question for you, and this is something that many people have asked me. Is it necessary to do a contract with your DJ?
Absolutely, 100%.
And I want you to tell us all the reasons why.
Well, if you don't have a written agreement, there's really no record of the understanding that you came to with, you know, between the DJ and the wedding couple. Let's just say the DJ, who you thought was going to DJ your wedding, had an offer to do a bigger party for double the money. He could say a few days before your wedding, oh, sorry, Cynthia, I can't do your wedding. I'm really sorry about that. And then you're screwed, or you've got to scramble.
You got to scramble, and then maybe your DJ is replaced by someone else that you didn't personally pick.
Right. Because
you do meet with all of your couples beforehand. I do.
Yes, definitely. Preferably in person, but we'll do video conferencing or, you know, phone call if they're pressed for time. But it enhances the quality of the job if you get to know each other a little bit, and the day of will just be that much better.
What other tips can you offer brides and grooms who are in this stage now? Because they're going to be starting booking the florists. The DJs tend to be somewhere in the middle there. What advice do you have for them?
Kind of jog your memory to all the weddings that you've been to as a guest and think about, well, what did you like? What were the most fun weddings you went to? And what was memorable? Was it the lighting? Was it the way the DJ mixed the music? Was it the MC? It was a lot of fun. Then just start doing your research. You know, go to Wedding Wire, The Knot, look for reviews, ask friends if they have someone they could recommend. But then do your due diligence and go in, you know, deeper.
One of the weddings that I had DJed once, a woman was dancing so hard that she broke her shoes. So friends of mine were joking like, that is a sign of a great wedding when people are breaking their shoes.
Right.
Well, I think it's a better sign if all the women have their shoes off.
Yes.
Then you know the DJ is really good.
That's right. Absolutely right.
Dancing.
Kat, how many weddings have you been to?
Oh, so many. I'm from the South. I'm from Alabama. So like when people get married, it's like an ordeal, like the whole town would go. And it's like there's a huge mansion that like everyone would have their reception at. It just became the wedding place, so they literally built a pavilion so that people could stop spending so much money on bringing in tent.
And people spend so much money on these events.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I was recently approached by Maharani Weddings, which is East Indian weddings. And they were telling me that on average, their clientele was spending like $200,000, $250,000 on their multi-day weddings. Mm-hmm. Do you have a policy, Greg, about requests and USB sticks and phones with music in it?
Right. Well, for weddings, at least, I try to avoid that. I will field requests on the fly, but it's got to be stuff that kind of fits the style of the event and the couple. If the couple doesn't like country music, I'm not going to play country music. If they hate line dancing, I'm not going to play line dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a packed dance floor at a wedding last fall. There's about 15 minutes left in the party, and some guy comes over to me and says, hey, I'm a good friend of the father of the groom. He loves the song Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. And can you play it? You need to play it right now. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to play it right now and kill this great dance floor.
That's a Guestzilla.
That's a Guestzilla right there. I've gotten requests like in the middle of something, someone goes, can you play House of Pain, Jump Around? And it's just not the right moment. So Greg, as a DJ, when you're approached and it's just not the right moment, what do you say?
Well, I try to be nice about it. And if it's on the couple's do not playlist, they don't want line dances, I just say, hey, sorry, the bride and groom don't want line dancing. There's not much they can say to that.
Right.
You know, if it's an okay request, I'll say, I'll see what I can do. If it's a really bad request, I'll say, you know, maybe I'll tell White Lion, say I don't have the song, or you know, I'll just tell them, you know.
I had a really nutty experience, and I'm putting this out there. Don't do this if you're listening. So one of the groom's best friends decided to play a prank on the groom by asking me to play his least favorite song on the face of this earth at his wedding. So because I was allowed to take the request, I started playing it, and you have never seen a groom run to a DJ booth faster saying, I hate this song. So I turned it off and I pointed to his best friend and they started a verbal fist fight.
I have a great bad song story. So in Alabama, I went to Auburn. So like when you play Sweet Home Alabama, which like everyone plays at their wedding, we like shout like War Eagle. And I was at a friend's wedding who went to Auburn, and they started playing the song, but Alabama fans say something different, and they're our main rival. And they started yelling Roll Tide in the middle of the band was doing this. Like, the band was singing the Alabama version of the song, and it was just like, of all things, you should have known, like, where the groom went to school.
Oh. See, there's a lot that you have to consider.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't think of it all in the moment. I can't.
Yeah.
Something that people ask me often is like, well, do I have to rent equipment and how do I save money? And Greg has a great chapter in his book, Money Saving Tips for Booking a Wedding DJ. Maybe you can share some pieces from that, because that's the practical stuff that I think we really, really like to hear about.
And again, it's not about getting your wedding DJ or wedding services for the cheapest price possible. But let's face it, you know, there are real budgetary constraints for some of us. We'd like to have it all, but there's just not enough money. So some of the tips would be, you know, lighting and production. So that lighting costs extra money. It's expensive. It takes, you know, additional staffing to, you know, bring it out, set it up. If you're having a daytime wedding, you may not need lighting. It could be minimal or no lighting. So that's one way you can save on money. The other way I mentioned before, the two-person team. Well, if the DJ company says we only work in pairs, well, if you work with just one, theoretically it should be cheaper. Okay. So that's another way you could conceivably save a little money. Cocktail hour. I personally like to do custom cocktail hours for the clients, but some venues have their own sound systems and they've got whatever it is, but it's not bad, not as good as what the DJ could do. You know, we would charge a few hundred dollars for a cocktail hour, but the house can do it. You can save a little money there.
I've always found that people ask me, do I have to rent more equipment? And I think people are assuming that, of course, we come with our own equipment, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
95% of the venues, we bring our own equipment. There's a few places where you get to plug into the house sound system, and those are nice. At our company, for some of our VIP clients, what we've done is after the wedding, we've put together a commemorative mix, usually 45 minutes to an hour, and it has their special songs like their first dance and their grand entrance and so on. But it also captures some of the key dance tracks of the night, like the high points of the evening, and they'll always have that. That's something that's very personal to them.
I love that. That's super cool.
People ask me, what are good song ideas for first dances?
Ideally, there's a song that was playing on the radio when you fell in love, and it's super evident that that's the song you got to use. But if it's not, then you got to do some research. You know, the last few years, Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud has been very popular. John Legend's All of Me. Those have gotten a little bit played out, in my opinion. Ed Sheeran has a new track called How Would You Feel, which I think has a lot of potential. It could be a huge wedding first dance banger, you know, for 2017. But we have something online on our blog called the Wedding Music Masterclass, and it has our top picks for all those special songs. So, you know, first dance songs used by celebrities, father-daughter dance, mother-son, cake cutting, bouquet and garter. We have a list of 10 songs not to play at a wedding.
For example, what is a song you didn't want to play at a wedding?
For example, like a lot of people get fooled by the romantic feel of a song like Sam Smith's Stay With Me, which is really a song about hooking up and breaking up.
Right.
Such a good point.
So,
or like it's about the other woman or something.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Who hit that reggae horn?
with Sam Smith. It's really funny. You have to consider lyrics and the actual word content. So that said, clean versions of songs, we have to guarantee those too.
Sure.
For the most part. Unless there's a wedding where they're like really okay with it. I've had many, many specific requests like no N-bombs, please, and no cursing and things like that. So you get the radio edits, right?
Yes. I've subscribed to a few services. I have the radio edits and we go with those. It's a challenging time these days with music, especially in the the hip hop world where things have definitely gone ratchet, and even if it's clean, it's still pretty dirty.
Yeah. Things have gone ratchet.
Things have gone ratchet.
I love that.
Funny, I had a lot of requests at the last wedding I did for trap left and right because it's popular. The people who were over 25 years old all sat down, like cleared the dance floor like roaches when you turn on a light. And what do you do with that, Greg? It's like you have to cater to a portion of the crowd and they're really happy, but they're not really even dancing. They're kind of just standing there and enjoying
vibing.
The music. They're vibing. Exactly.
Yeah.
So things that clear the dance floor, we don't want to do that.
No, because at a wedding reception, you have such a limited time for open dancing and fun. Maybe only a couple hours after you eat and do all the formal stuff. So you have to make every song count. There can't be any duds. You got to keep it going.
Right. Mm-hmm. Who DJ'd your wedding?
I actually had a band.
So do you suggest that too, live music with wedding DJ, or is it a separate thing altogether?
Well, our company and others are using a fusion approach. So we have a package where we have a guy named Joe Grillo, who's a great saxophone player. He also sings. So Joe does the cocktail hour. He sings and plays sax during dinner while people are enjoying their entrees. And then he joins us out on the dance floor for songs like Mr. Saxabeat and Motown, and plays along, interacts with the crowd. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we pull in party percussionists into our shows, which
give it
a great visual flair and, you know, something pretty cool.
I love that extra acoustic add-ons. Really, really make it more alive. Well, thank you so much for being here. Again, your website for everyone to check out and your Instagram and Facebook.
Sure, sure. Well, thanks, Cynthia, for having me on your show. It was awesome. Our website, ambientdj.com. You can find me on Instagram at Ambient DJs. Same for Twitter, and Facebook is Ambient DJ.
Thank you so much, everyone. Guestzilla and my fiance for the day. I've been ending each episode with the song Love is Love by Joni Leeds and the Nightlights. And she sent me a little story. I'd love to share it right now. It
doesn't matter. Hi, this is Joni Leeds with Joni Leeds and the Nightlights. We're a kids rock band living in Brooklyn. And this story is about how I got together with my husband. We actually went on a boat on one of our very first dates, and we ended up at the end of the night walking through Stuyvesant Town and sitting on a park bench, yada, yada, yada. But then the next day, I left for a month, and I was away at Bonnaroo, and I was on a southern tour. And when I got back, the very next day, I saw him because we had a gig together in, where of all places, Stuyvesant Town. So needless to say, it was slightly uncomfortable, but it all worked out in the end. Now he's my husband, and we have a baby.
Love makes us family. So everybody say love is love. Say love is love. Say love is love. Is love is love. And love makes us family.
Wedding Cake is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now.
Gold, it shouldn't matter, no, 'cause love makes us family. So everybody say love.
For listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.